and declining consumer confidence in the wake of the housing market problems. Gold is trading at $756.70 an ounce. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 64 points at 14,015. The NASDAQ was down 39, and the S&P was down 8. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Chrisson.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Five minutes past the hour, and thanks for sticking around. The most genial form of radio talk in the world. That's us. The little chatterboxes right here on the horn. I'm one of them. I'm Bob. And you're welcome to jump in any way that you see fit. 877-443-2366. That means 877, the numeral 4, head on, is your toll-free method to get into the studio. You can also get in via your own nickel if you want to save us one at 304-658-5453. Email rolls into bob@headonradio.com. There's a chat room. There's endless ways for you to participate in this most interactive of media, and we are awfully, awfully glad to afford that opportunity to you. And we're very much grateful as well for those people who help us keep this whole effort on the air. I don't spend nearly enough time expressing my gratitude to our bloggers, our news ninjas, to folks like, every night I try to give credit at the end of the program to folks like John Fox, Ben Birch, my own darling Agnes, who remains busy in the background, although she's stepped back from the day-to-day operations. Somebody's got to be mommy, right? It's all amazing. And then you, listeners, participants, who contribute to make listener-supported independent media a viable and continuing force in the dialogue and discussion that should be America, but in very, very few places actually is. How grateful we are. And just to let you know, we have crossed over the halfway mark for October, and that thrills my soul. We're not halfway done with October, and we have crossed the $1,000 mark. So that means we're halfway there. We are today on the 11th day of October, where we were with September's fundraising on September 30th. I don't know. Dare I hope that we can make up for September's shortfall in October as well? I know it's a lot to ask. I know it truly is. But you have all shown me and inspired me beyond words' ability to measure. So I hope that we can. If it's possible, I hope that we can, so that we can continue to bring you Strictly Confidential, this program, Mark Levine's Radio Inside Scoop, Guy James. Of course, Guy is separately funded. Let me make that abundantly clear. Joe Vecchio's Cup of Joe program will be returning Monday evening at 11 p.m. to midnight. And in short order, I'm quite certain that John Fox's All Foxed Up will return as well. We're sort of waiting for the time change to go on, because the time change between here and Australia really, really makes things a wreck. We're 14 hours different right now, and we'll be like 16 hours different when the time change comes in late October, early November. So that's why that is that way. Let's go to the phones, see what's on folks' mind. Hey, I see. Hey, you're welcome. You're on the air. Welcome to the program.
Beep, beep, beep. Hey, Bob, it's Albert.
Hey, Albert, what's up, brother?
Oh,
did you hang up and try another number? Did you do that?
I would never do that.
Okay, just checking.
You know, I just want to start a little light for a second.
Okay. Easy, free and easy. Breathe. Going to our happy place, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get there. But you know, everybody knows all the issues that we really as Americans have to face, right? You know, we have a lot of stuff to talk about, and it's not just here on the Horn that we have to talk about it. We have to talk about it everywhere. Now, you know, I said it before, NPR. NPR, my local NPR. You know, I go to bed real late at night. I'm writing and I'm doing reading and I'm all this stuff. And I go to bed and I'll turn the radio on and I'll just be like, listen to the radio and go to sleep with that. You know, hopefully they talk about an issue that is interesting. Hopefully they're talking about an issue, period. And I go to do that the other morning, and you know what they're talking about? You know what their big issue, and they're all, you know, that NPR, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like that, oh, isn't that wonderful? Oh, that's so great. You know what I'm saying? Like, have you ever heard that?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what
they're
talking about and laughing and giggling and just, oh, so excited about? Pies.
Pie?
Pies, yeah. Pies.
Like not mathematical pie, but no, banana cream, coconut, cherry, apple, blackberry,
yeah.
Blueberry.
Yeah. Oh, they had all these marvelous... anyway, that's like a big problem in this country. You see, like, there are a lot of people that, you know, that's where they get... They listen to their news, and that's where they get their information from, is NPR. They don't know how to access the Internet, you know, and so they get it from the radio and TV. And it just makes me just so physically ill to think that, you know, people ask the question, why are we in the trouble we're in? Well, this is why. Because this is the level of discourse has gone from Ann Coulter talking about, you know, how John Edwards, you know,
yeah.
John Edwards is sleeping around on his wife, and she gets her source as the National Enquirer. What is that? Did you hear that? Did you hear what she said on Tucker Carlson?
Yeah, I know.
What is that?
My willingness to put Ann Coulter out on the air is limited to, you know, once every month or two, and I wouldn't have done it last night had it not been for the overt sort of warming up of the oven's nature of her wanting to perfect the Jews.
Perfect the Jews. Isn't that... Oh, it's just... She can't be real. She just can't be real. Like the things she... Like... Oh, she just can't. That's not real. She just isn't. And it's just amazing to me. Amazing to me. I mean, it's a joke, right?
No. Sorry, it's not. I mean, it's her shtick.
Yeah.
But that's the same analysis you have to engage with Flush Flemball or any of these freakazoids. You look at them and go, no, they can't really think that way. They're doing this because it's making them millions and millions of dollars. But you know what? I'm not willing to take my brain to that place, because you know what? I hold them responsible for what they say publicly, and what they say publicly, as far as I'm concerned, Albert, is who they are privately.
Oh, no doubt. They're criminals. They're just criminals. They're frauds as well. I mean, look at the news sources they cite. I mean, even when they cite Newsmax, you know, and all these other nonsensical sites, and it's just amazing. I mean, and the filth and the muck that we have to get through. That's why, you know, get right back on it. You know, that's why I laugh when everybody, oh, we got to get Hillary in the office. Nothing makes me more disgusted than that. Just not the fact of what Hillary is and what she is and what she isn't, in terms of what I disagree with her on the Democratic Party platforms and all that other stuff that she wants to put up. It's the fact that I know in my heart of hearts that the minute that if we put her in the nomination, the frickin' machine will go into full overdrive. It's been being built for 15 years. I'm gonna have to look at Vince Foster crap, Mina Airports. I mean, that's like the hypocrisy.
Dan Burton's gonna go back into the backyard and shoot more watermelons. I know.
You know, Ollie North is over here, you know, talking about Mina Air Force, you know, and doing drugs, and when he was the one that was doing that. But you know, that's neither here nor there. It's just one of these things that it's not even one of these things. I got to stop saying that. I say that too much, because it's not a thing. This is our life, and this is the reality we live in. You know, this is not funny anymore. It's not cute. It's not, you know, flag lapel pins, and I mean, come on now. I mean, if you couldn't see through the transparent, I mean, you know, you got to watch Schindler's List again if you think flag lapel pins.
Well, see, the funny thing, I'm amazed that the flag lapel pin can become an issue simply because Gary Trudeau did it 3-4 months ago. He had an entire week-long panel, series of panels, where a Republican congressman had lost his flag lapel pin and couldn't go to work. And at one point, his wife is off panel and she says, "Honey, here's the one that's on your pajamas. You want that one?" He goes, "No, that's the informal flag lapel pin. I'd be drummed out." I've gotten to where I see these flag lapel pins and I want to vomit because I remember where they started. They flowed out of the right wing religion industry. Maybe a lot of others don't remember this, but you know, I'm a recovering Southern Baptist, and there was a lot of this garbage that flowed into our home. And I remember when, for a donation to his Thomas Road Baptist Church and the moral majority, Jerry Falwell would send you an American flag lapel pin.
I think that nails it, Bob. No, I really do. I think exactly what you just phrased nails it. That is how far right we have gone. We have gone so far right in this country that Democrats not conforming to that just hideous. You know, that's the thing. Men's jewelry. Who was that that came up with that? Was it that Jon Stewart or Stephen Colbert came up and said that? You know, I really put my policies on, you know, what men's jewelry is. And that's what it is. It's fake. It's fake. I mean, it's fake patriotism. Who said it? Patriotism is the last refuge for scoundrels.
Sounds like Mark Twain to me.
Huh?
Sounds like Mark Twain to me.
Yeah, well, wouldn't be surprising. One of our greats. We need more of them. But that's what it is. It is that. And then names are not coming to my head today. But the other man who stated about fascism coming to America, wrapped in the American flag, holding a cross. These are things that I just cannot allow my mind to forget about. I can't just sit there and let. You know, forget about this stuff as it's coming to be. It's coming into fruition. You know, and I know you don't like to think about a conspiracy theory in terms of Iraq being the, being like almost constructed chaos. You know, but I have to disagree with you there. I think that it's important that it's chaos there. I think that that's one of the reasons. I mean, they're the ones making money hand over fist. It's just they're making money hand over fist. They're stealing from us.
Well, sure they are. Sure they are. And let's not make any mistake, Albert. I never said that they didn't intend to make a fortune on this. But they intended to make it a lot easier. You know,
ideally.
You know, it's like a Three Stooges episode. You know, the bank heist is supposed to go one way, but it goes the other. And yet, somehow or another, the Stooges survive going into the sunset at the closing credits.
Yeah, I can kind of see that. It doesn't ring as solid to me. I don't know, maybe it's just my paranoia. I just can't get around.
Now, some of this stuff is deliberate. We know now that the reason that Rummy told Shinseki to hit the bricks when Shinseki said it's going to take 500,000 soldiers to do the job was because Rummy was already on board with the plan to put in, you know, maybe a couple of 100,000 American soldiers and fill out the rest with mercenaries.
Yeah.
Now, that was part of it.
But hang on now.
Okay.
Now, we have these mercenaries over there, right? Now, these mercenaries, they have a vested interest, for the longer they stay there, the more money they make. The more chaos that's there, the better they do, because the more they're needed.
Right. That's why they generate the chaos. I mean, I'm a little bit taken aback by the current coverage of Blackwater, because anybody who's been paying attention, as Mark Levine has pointed out, that's what they've been doing from the get-go. The whole burnt bodies in Fallujah thing was because they were driving around trying to create chaos.
Yep.
I mean, there are videos out there that have been on YouTube for months, if not a year or more years, of these guys giggling and shooting at civilians behind them for the hell of it.
Yep, to music, setting it to music.
They serve under no flag. They answer to no general. They are constrained by no law. That part of it is deliberate.
Yeah.
Understand, but I just don't believe because I know how these guys talk and how they act. I've seen them for 6.5 years. They think they're smarter than everybody. It's like the old saying about crazy people think they're the only sane ones. They're actually idiots. They're street thugs. They're punks. They're dumbasses.
Yeah, but I...
Because it would require a level of genius, Albert, for what you and others have said about this being deliberate. It would require a level of genius that is so deep and so dark and so broad that we should all just go home, because we can't defeat genius on that level. If it's genius, we're done. If they're street punks, we got a chance. Because all you got to do with a street punk is ball bat him, and he'll go running away.
But see, that's why here we go right back into both sides of the political aisle are wearing the lapel pins, Bob. I mean, we got to sit here and really kind of look at this. I mean, I believe they are a little bit more evil geniuses, but the way to defeat that kind of stuff is to expose it, is to recognize it, accept it, and expose it, because they are profiteering. They want the chaos. They want to steal. They want to do this stuff. They want that because they definitely – Iraq wasn't the beginning. Iraq wasn't even really even the whole thing. Iraq is just the staging grounds for holding that region. Okay, and as I said, and I keep saying it, you know, like, every time it comes around, you know, about a year goes by, and people start realizing, yeah, you know, it was about, a big part of this was the oil. And then and then all of a sudden you start, these people think it's about the oil, it's about democracy, blah, 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 blah. You know, that just don't ring true to me at all. That just is the most outrageous fallacy I've ever heard of in my life. We are not in Iraq for democracy. We don't care a squat. And I don't mean we, as you and I. I mean them. These people in charge. These people, these supposed servants of ours, they don't care about democracy. They don't care about democracy here, Bob. Right? To them, it's just the game. That's just they're players. They come out here.
Democracy is only a word, Albert. It's only a word, democracy.
Oh, there was Constitution?
Nobody. No. I'm sorry. It really is. It's only a word because, well, anybody who had studied any extended history of the Middle East would know that you were going to be on the short end of a long uphill climb if you were going to impose a democracy. You know, that should have been big flashing light number one. Democracy is not imposed. But if you were going to impose democracy on a people whose socio-political, religio-cultural system is predicated on a hereditary caliphate, and you're going to impose it at the historic capital of that hereditary caliphate. Okay? Anybody who's... No, that's not a mark of overreaching genius. That's the mark of a moron.
Hang on, though. That's what I'm saying. They didn't go there with the... You know, you're kind of, in a sense, you're showing what I'm saying. They didn't go over there and with the intention of democracy. They tell us democracy. That's what they're saying. They tell us this garbage for us to swallow it, for us to go, oh, that's a noble purpose. Yeah, democracy. They should have what we have.
Yeah, how quick...
And then how long
did you go along with it? You look
never.
Up and...
I was against Afghanistan.
Nah. Okay.
I was against Afghanistan. There's no reason for those people over there to pay for what is alleged to come from Afghanistan. It was from Saudi Arabia. I was against all. I understand about the Afghans, you know, being religious freaks, and I understand that. But you know, it's not them that suffer. It's, you know, they're the ones. It's not them that have to sit there and worry about their children getting dysentery. The children in Afghanistan don't deserve the Taliban, but they certainly don't deserve to get destroyed by, you know, B-52 bombers strafe in an area. You know, so that's kind of my whole thing. I was against Iraq. I was against Iraq 1. I was against Afghanistan. I'm against all this garbage because this stuff is nonsense. It's the military-industrial complex to the T of what Eisenhower warned us about. I mean, this is one of these things that, you know, they always like to try to claim about, oh, Democrat, Republican, blah, 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 blah. You know, like, the thing is this super state that Truman signed into gear, okay, this super second state, that's the one that controls this area. That's the one that controls this garbage. They tell us what they want us to know. They have a freaking playbook. And you know what? That playbook is exposed, Bob, because they just came out with, the Democrats just came out and they said something about terrorism and how they had to frame it, right? The government tells them how they have to frame it and use terror in order to scare the people so they can get these positions passed without anybody sitting there rising up and making a stand like you and I and everyone here needs to do. You know, because if we sit here and just lay back and hey, George Bush has played the idiotic retard to a T. And you know what? There are a lot of times I sit there and I look at him and it's a genuine idiot. But
yeah, but Albert, how do you deal with Jimmy Carter? I mean, I was railing last night and I said, you know, so and so wasn't a genius president, so and so wasn't a genius president. Somebody took me to task for Jimmy Carter and said, you know, damn, he's a nuclear scientist. How much more genius do you want? Yeah, okay, I'm not going to fight that battle. But here's Jimmy Carter who came out and said, Dick Cheney is a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I think that is without regard to whether Dick Cheney thinks he's a genius or Dick Cheney is a moron. Okay, but when Jimmy Carter comes out and says that Dick Cheney is a disaster, I think he's opining on my side of this little debate.
In a second, for a second, hang on. What kind of, in a sense, what, you know, like what he's saying, and what you're also saying, that's one level of it, right? That is one level. He is a disaster. Of course he is. This whole damn administration's a disaster for the world, okay? But at the same time, I think it's silly to cut ourselves short and think that these bastards don't know what they're doing. They look the way they play the dummies of this country, okay? They play the dummies. Now, they knew from the get-go that you, myself, Jimmy Carter, everybody on the horn, everybody listening, they, Susan, everybody, they knew that we wouldn't buy this democracy crap, okay? They knew that. But that didn't matter because the majority does. The majority wants to have these good intentions. They want it, and that's what the road to hell is paved with good intentions because it's proven.
Look, Albert, nobody ever went broke underestimating the American people. Okay? I mean, that's fact. Okay, let me try to bolster my side of this a little bit.
All right.
Over at the Washington Post today, I know, citing the Washington Post is a little bit, yeah.
Inquirer.
Al Kamen, who's a columnist there, notes in regard to Dick Cheney the story when he shot his buddy in the face. And he has apparently gotten Dan Bartlett, you know, who was a director of communications, exalted grand noble pish posh in the Bush administration. He's apparently, you know, Dan Bartlett's talking. And he said, when Cheney shot his buddy in the face, and this is a quote from Bartlett, we couldn't get hold of him for quite a bit of time. Well, we know why. He was drunk.
Hammered, yep.
They were strategizing on their own, which as always got me worried. I called down there, and I finally get a hold of some of the people traveling with him, and they kind of laid out their strategy. We're not going to talk about this, they said. We're going to give it to the Corpus Christi Caller Times in the morning. Bartlett said he was stunned. I mean, the little paper couldn't find a reporter because it was the weekend. All right? This is straight out of Kamen's column. And Bartlett goes on, he says, so finally I said, I have to talk with the vice president directly. I have to intervene in this. So he gets Cheney on the phone and says, Mr. Vice President, I know you don't have any traveling press with you, but we need to pull together a pool, either get them down there, get you on the phone with them. We need to work this out. Bartlett says, dead silence. And then he hears, this is how we're going to handle it. In other words, through the little newspaper.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Vice President, hang up the phone and the rest is history, Bartlett recalled. Okay? This is not the action of a calculating evil genius. Okay?
Hang on. What fallout did he have? He had no fallout from this. The only fallout from this is what you and I are talking about. Most people, most Americans forgot all about it. They forgot all about it. They don't care about
now,
it.
Now, see, wait. I disagree.
Okay.
Because in many ways, this was the turning point on Dick Cheney.
Really?
He had been Darth Vader until then, for those of us who loathe, detest, and despise him. Okay? For those who follow him and think that the sun rises and sets out his posterior, he had been without sin. He could do no wrong. From the Cheney shot his friend in the face episode onward, his reputation has seriously eroded. Now, I can't say this for a fact, but I'll bet you can go back and track the disapproval ratings, you know, not to any particular thing with the Iraq War, but there was profound negative fallout for the Bush administration out of the shot a guy in a face episode. My God, John Stewart's take on that was seen by more people than saw O'Reilly's take or the network's take. Okay?
I'll give you that in the fact that, just from my standpoint, I'm so far the other side of this person that it's just, it's hard for me to even kind of contemplate.
And one of the reasons that it worked to his detriment is because, you know, there's a lot of gun loving, gun owning people in America, okay? And I'll grant the Second Amendmenteers who write me and listen to this program that the majority of those gun owners in America are law abiding, okay? And to hear the account of how it happened, you know, not by some liberal media, but out of the words, out of the mouths of the vice president's people themselves, even those people, Albert, had to look up and go, holy crap! You know, here I am teaching my 12-year-old about gun safety, and Dick Cheney, who is a great white hunter, has just violated every rule that I've taught my kids. Every rule that is basic to the safe handling of firearms. He just spit on it.
Well, now hang on now.
And that hurt him.
Yeah, all right. However, I got to come at it from a little different perspective. Yeah, granted, everybody's going to make individual mistakes, and there ain't no way in hell you'll ever catch me defending Dick Cheney. You're kind of making me feel like that. It's getting me...
Yeah, there's a shower coming for you, isn't there?
Oh, I'm going to have to go get some renal care over here in a second. But it's not Dick Cheney. And, you know, like people like... I think we like to put these ideologues on a platform and say, see, it's Bush the one that's planning it, or it's Cheney the one that's planning it. And I don't think it's quite like that. These people are told what to do. And I do believe this. I just think that, you know, these people said, I got this idea. You know, like, they come up with an idea in this little group, and they have this idea. And everybody plays their little role, and because of that, it works the way it does. I mean, look back in the day, all right? You could sit there and say the same thing about George H.W. Bush, right? You could say the same thing. Oh, he was a dummy. Oh, he's a this, or he's a that, or he's a that. And you know what? That was the best trick he ever pulled. He ain't no dummy. The guy ran the Bay of Pigs this, and he did this, and he dirty tricks up the yin-yang. There's even connections with him and JFK. I mean, there's so many things with these bastards that it's tough for me to sit there and just say, oh, well, yeah, he puked in some Japanese guy's lap. He's an idiot. You know,
I'm not asking you to do that, Albert.
No, I know, but it just rings to me of that, to kind of like just let them think, oh, well, they're, you know, they're bumbling goofs, and they're just this and this. I mean, you look at the moves.
No, I didn't say they're bumbling goofs. I said they're street punks, okay?
They are, well...
Okay? There's a big difference.
They're definitely.
There's one way to test and either prove my theory. Unfortunately, nobody's going to do it.
I'll try.
No, you can't.
I know.
We need the Democratic Party to treat a street punk like a street punk. We may see. You know what? That test may be coming. If we can get the votes in the House to overturn the S-CHIP veto, that's a little bit of that test. That's balling your fist up and punching the bully in the face.
Well, I'll tell you what.
We're 13 or 14 votes down at this point.
They went after that little 12-year-old kid, and that is just so unbelievable to me that I don't even know how much. That's things I don't like to think about. You know, I mean, it's things that, you know, I'll be honest with you guys. You know, I mean, as I told you, I got a little kid, and the world isn't getting any better every day we wake up. It's a whole new thing of, you know, another bunch of freaking hypocrites with dildos and latex and all this stuff, and that's the comedy side of it, as tragic as it is, you know. And then it turns into all these other horror stories that, I mean, it makes the things that, like, make Abu Ghraib seem like, well, yeah, so, you know, I mean, so it's like I do get sensitive about this kind of stuff. The way they attack these 12-year-old kid and his sister, they go after the family, they put the address up so people, you know, it's the same thing with all these freaking,
hey, Albert. You're making my point for me, brother. Those are the actions of street punks.
It is.
That's what a thug does.
Oh, hey, just because they're multimillionaires doesn't mean that they're not, you know. I mean, Lucky Luciano, you know, the guy was a freaking illiterate, ignorant retard, but he still was a criminal of mass proportions and get you killed with the snap of a finger, you know. And they make mistakes. They're greedy, and that's the deal that we're seeing here. I think they are smart enough, though. I think they are smart enough in a global strategic sense, especially when you have groups like the CFR and all this other junk. You got these groups. They have these guidelines. This is what they want to see. This is what we have to do. You know, we need a new Pearl Harbor in order to get this done. And I think these are people that they want to put into the whole gear. You sit here and you go and you pull these strings and we tell you to pull them. They do this. All right, you make a little money putting them in your pocket. That's what they are. They're just, it's like, you know, people, they try to think, you know, like Tony Soprano was a mafia guy. Well, he wasn't. He was just a wise guy. And wise guys aren't mafia guys. They're kind of like mafia guys, but they don't have that prestige. And now, people can try to say that the, you know, politicians are mafia guys, but they're kind of like mafia guys. They just have more prestige, and they have more.
Well, except Rudy, he has real ties to the mob.
Rudy is a disgusting, disgraceful bag of turd. I hate that guy so much I can't even stand it. And I'm from New York, and I grew up when he was mayor. And I'll tell you what, I'm not even going to say it.
Hey, Albert, I got a bunch of people lined up. Most of which are probably busy signals because nobody has any patience with me. I'll talk to you soon. All right. Thanks. Bye-bye. And I don't know how we came down on this, but you know, they're either street punks or evil geniuses.
Next time.
All right. See you, Albert.
All right.
Later.
Bye bye.
All right. Let's see if you're actually a person who's there. Nope, you're not. Hey, welcome to the program.
I am for real.
Yes, you are.
How's it going, Mr. Kincaid? Long time, sadly, no speak.
Spike, I tell you what, it's, you know, I don't know, street punks versus geniuses, you know. We're doing it again.
I got a few examples of street punks. I actually called on something different, but while I'm on the subject, while you're on the subject, I'll keep it going, actually, with the street punks. Last week I was at the NAACP in Easton, which is it's definitely one of the better organizations for democracy in this town because they're the biggest sponsors every election, primary and general, for candidate debates, and they work harder than anyone else to bring the candidates to the people so you can actually meet the people. And in Easton, for the most part, being such a heavily Democratic town, is very it's a town where you're expected to really talk to the population. So it's great to go to these type of things, and it was in the basement of a church last week, and they had it. And lo and behold, as I like to refer to him as the Minute Clan, a.k.a., as everyone talks about, He lives in the suburbs of Easton, ironically around the corner from Larry Holmes. He wears a sleeveless, where he cut the sleeves off of a Minuteman t-shirt, wears Doc Martens with red laces, has very little hair in his head, drives a Nazi red Chevy pickup truck with many, many redneck type of stickers on them.
They can have my guns when they pry them from my cold, dead fingers.
Right. One of those, and best part of all, actually, a sticker dead center in his rear window says European Pride Heritage with the cross in a circle, better known as the White Pride logo.
Yep.
He's the biggest champion in this area on the matter, and he showed up to debates and of course, asked his silly question about what are they going to do about illegal immigrants. And obviously, who better to promote the right-wing agenda than a true street thug, a skinhead? But it just gets better from there, actually. I didn't feel well the other night and left work a little early, went to the supermarket right by my shop. And as I was walking towards the end, I went to make a turn. I noticed as I'm making a turn onto an aisle, the guy walking in front of me had a shirt on the back that said RushLimbaugh.com. So I just let him say, Rush Limbaugh, and I walked down the aisle. Then I ended up behind him as he was leaving the express lane. You know, I just kind of shot him a look as he was giving me a look for, I guess, laughing at him. And he left with his woman, I don't know, girlfriend, whatever. And the guy's like my age, late 20s, early 30s. So as I'm getting out in the parking lot, you know, I'm not like looking to cause trouble, but I see he's getting into a Jaguar, a new white Jaguar.
No.
So I was like, I gotta let this one know what I think. So at first I was just like, yeah, leave it to someone of privilege to be a Limbaugh fan. So I walked to my car, and as he drives by, he's looking at me. So I decided I wanted to tell him just how Rush Limbaugh truly is number one in the ratings. And the fact that we showed what number in the ratings is number one on my hand. And he comes back around, I guess not appreciating the middle finger, and comes running out of his Jag, bumping up into the chest. Come on, let's go. You want to go? Who are you? How dare you give me a finger? And I just let him know, hey, that's what I think of Rush Limbaugh and anyone who's going to promote his show these days. And you're a
liberal.
You know, no, not a liberal. He was using more language like the slang for female parts or a cat. And, you know, because I wouldn't get in a fight with him, which, of course, goes to kind of prove just how brainwashed these idiots are that they honestly think any form of violence.
Well, put a checkbox over by street punks.
But, of course, best part of all, I never saw the front of his shirt till he came running at me, and it was the Club Gitmo shirt, even classic.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a guy I rightfully should have punched, but of course I didn't. But he has his.
Hey, you know, you were battling your essential Philly nature, dude. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, well, he wasn't. I was bigger than him, so when you get in those situations, I guess he was trying to prove to his woman he was tough, and getting right up in my face. But he was like 5'6", 170, with lead in his pockets, maybe.
Yeah.
And that's how you end up going on death row in the state of Pennsylvania. So it wasn't something I had to get out of fighting when they started giving me legal fines in high school with the authorities. So that was something I had to give up years ago. But, that was someone who definitely deserved to get punched. But I did enjoy the fact that he thought the best way to resolve that disagreement would be by duking it out. Great, again, street thug kind of mentality, you know, try to break someone's dumbs. But that is the mentality. Then I mean, rightfully, I'm sure some people say, "Well, why'd you give him the finger? That was kind of obnoxious." But so is the T-shirt. You know, it was kind of, "Hey, you have your freedom of speech. I have mine." And
he's
you know how many people gave me the middle finger when I was protesting going into Iraq, you know, 4 or 5 years ago before we went.
Oh, and worse, I'm sure.
Oh, the barrage of vulgarities. Yeah, in a way, I'm almost just kind of, how's the shoe fit on the other foot for you there, kind of.
Yeah, how's that Iraq war working out for you there, buddy?
Yeah, well, obviously, I've learned from Iraq, violence doesn't solve problems, a la Iraq. But, of course, a Rush Limbaugh fan hasn't figured that one out. But what really did him in was the Jaguar. If he would have been getting in a pickup truck or anything else, I probably would have just let him slide. But you get into a brand new white Jag.
Young enough to be serving in Iraq.
I'm coming after you.
Young enough to be serving in Iraq, right?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. Like I said, he was like my age, late 20s. He was probably driving his daddy's Jag, you know.
Yeah.
He's inherited a wealth, you know, a typical W. Bush story. But whatever. I'm sure his wife or girlfriend was yelling at him to get back in the car when he was doing that. She was very embarrassed by it, so I'm sure it caused him great problems beyond that. And, you know, maybe if he's nuts enough, he's going to look for more fights with liberals, and he'll get himself arrested eventually. So
one may hope.
One can only hope. One can only
hope. Hey, man, sorry about that.
Caught the Nazareth, Pennsylvania, of guys in white Jags with Rush Limbaugh shirts.
By the way, sorry about the fills, dude.
Well, hey, at least they, I was at the last win of the year when they clinched, so, hey, you know, you gotta take it in baby steps.
Hey, they played their hearts out this season.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think they had too much rest. They had that extra rest waiting on who they were going to play, and I think that did them in a little bit, but, it was exciting being at that last game of the regular season when they clinched. I mean, so loud when they got that final out that I could not hear myself screaming at the top of my lungs, and I could scream loud.
And it was Philly, and it wasn't booing.
Oh, yeah. Well, trust me, when people cheer in Philly, it's even louder than the boos. People think that the boos are deafening, and the cheers are even louder. You know, and the rally towels are almost blinding. I had a good time. I made it in the Thursday paper of the Philadelphia Daily News in a picture, waving my rally towel and my Joe Torre model catcher's mitt in my other hand.
Oh, cool.
And
A then, Joe Torre model catcher's mitt?
Yeah, it was my catcher's mitt when I played Little League years ago. It was a hand-me-down from my dad's friend.
It had to be. I mean, you know, I'm 44, and mine was a Johnny Bench model, for the love of God.
Yeah, it's been around a long time. It has my name and the name of the kid who, because someone my dad was buddies with, kid, he was like late teens, early 20s when it was given to me, because they didn't have a use for it anymore. So it was pretty old back in, you know, 20 years ago. And when I got it, and I just decided to bring it to that game. I had a good season. I figured, well, if I'm not paying attention to the last second, I'm not worried about catching as much as keeping one from cracking my skull open. This will be perfect. And it seemed like I became the good luck charm with that mitt. And then best of all, on my way out on Sunday after they clinched, I ended up on the local Fox affiliate of all networks, reciting Tug McGraw's old line from the 1980 World Series parade, saying New York City can take this championship and stick it because we're number one, and which it was a perfect time to use that once again in Philly's history. I mean, you know, with the collapse of the New York Mets, and you know that all year, you know, everyone talked about how great the Mets were, and really the Phillies were.
You camera hound.
Good stuff. But it was great to be there. And a real quick note, anyone who's an arena football fan, the Nashville Cats yesterday officially collapsed, so the league is down a team. That was Tim McGraw's operation there. But onward to a few other things real quick.
Yeah, sure.
Today I got a really cool thing. My friend opened up a local business here. She sells, like, she makes postcards. She also sells them. People do collect postcards, and I found this, and I had to buy it to help her with her new business the first week it was open. This week, what it is in history, it was a Chai Guerrera postcard set, 20 cards in, like, a little cigar box. And as much as it infuriates the true communists of the capitalization of that, I just found the novelty of it, especially in the light of this week. It was like one of those, oh, I got to get this thing. I mean, the cigar box is what really pushed it over the edge for me there with Cuba and all, and I thought that was kind of cool. And, you know, it was 40 years ago that the role model for the Bush administration's operations of the world that was executed in Chai Guerrera, because, I mean, he believed to the day they executed him that if they just stayed the course, they would win, and they would bring freedom and prevail in Bolivia. And how it's like the same talking points with this administration and the war, and it kind of cracks me up that the ultra right wing is more communist than anyone else, essentially.
You know, I am hearing that more and more and more, Spike, and there's a hell of a lot of truth in it.
Yeah, and
I mean, we know now. It's not speculation. There's no questions about it. We just know. I think I mentioned it last night. Because of the New York Times revelations, the torture techniques that the Bush administration is so fond of are a direct lift. I mean, it would be plagiarism if it was a student paper. It's a direct lift from the old Soviet techniques.
Yeah, oh yeah. In a way, who really did win the Cold War? You know, they wanted to give Reagan the credit, but he might have been the one who actually blew it. And the people he inspired to come after him, and also speaking of, I read the New York Times when I get it for free when I close at work, and we throw out the ones that we didn't sell. I take one with me, and I did find it very interesting how the head of Blackwater, by the way, with his Republican ties, but not only uber Republican ties, but uber religious Reich ties in Dobson, Focus on the Family, groups like this with deep ties to him and his family, and then they are blowing away rounds like it's going out of style in Iraq, hitting whoever stands in their way. And if anyone really wants to see what Blackwater does, just go on YouTube and just start looking at footage from Iraq. About half of it comes from, quote, contractors, and it's just them nailing cars and just in panic mode over the littlest, I mean, you know, the roadside bombs, yeah, those are frightening things, but there's other things where it's like the littlest thing spooks them and they just take off shooting at anyone who's in their way. And you would think guys making, you know, what is it, $100,000 to $250,000 a year to be there, as opposed to our troops making peanuts and half of the peanuts at best. You know, I mean, nothing. They're just getting scraps of shells in comparison to the true nuts that these guys over at Blackwater again. You know, they have great armor compared to the U.S. troops and stuff. Why are they so scared? You know, I thought they were supposed to be the quote best of the best, apparently, that our Defense Department apparently can't train people to do, so they'll hire others to do it. That's essentially the message they've sent. You know, and then these ones go and they shoot up towns, and of course the people over there just know what, you know, they see white people, maybe black people, that, you know, obviously people who are not from Iraq, clearly when you look at them, you know, not to be racist, but it's absolutely true. And, you know, they see them shooting up a town, so the next band of them they see coming in similar vehicles looking like that comes are the ones they attack. And unfortunately, these contractors start the violence, and then the insurgents and the people looking to retaliate take it out on the troops, often who had nothing to do with what went on. And, you know, ultimately, a lot of Americans have given their lives, and a lot of it indirectly and directly, because of these idiot, far-right-wing hypocrites over at Blackwater and, you know, the people who are in the war business to make money, not to solve conflict.
Well, Spike, the fact that the Blackwater thing, but, you know, you mentioned they're making $200,000 a year. That's why they shoot first and ask questions later.
Yeah.
Because they want to get home to enjoy the $200,000 a year, and blowing away a few brown people just doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, of getting home and getting the cement pond put in the backyard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, and hey, let me ask you real quick. You say your friend is doing the postcard gig, right?
Yeah.
Is she online? Does she, I mean, is there a web address we can give out? Maybe help her sell a few cards?
She doesn't, for the shop, she doesn't have a website. But if you're ever in the city of Easton, it's called the Eastonian. It was the old Hotel Easton many years ago. Now it has nice condos up above, stores below. It's on Northampton Street, right as you cross the free bridge from Phillipsburg. So it's in a location you can't miss if you ever come to downtown East.
Well, tell her she needs an online presence, and we'll be happy to share the info.
Yeah, yeah, Laney's Little Shop in the city of Easton, if anyone's ever in the neighborhood. But, yeah, I think she has a communitycards.com for her business where she makes postcards as well. I'm not sure about that. But if you Google the name...
Well, talk to her and see if she's going to have an online presence and let us know, okay?
Yeah, yeah, no, not a problem at all.
All right, cool. Spike, it's always a joy hearing from you. You know, keep up the good work. Keep giving hell to the guys in the Limbaugh T-shirts. Those Club Gitmo shirts just drive me batty to begin with.
Yeah, and also I got to make sure I got to keep that skinhead from talking too much at times when he's trying to interrupt debates.
I believe in free speech and everything. But
I don't mind him asking his questions, but when the candidate's going to give his question, he starts badgering them because he disagrees with what they say. That's when he's got to.
Yeah, that's when he's got to.
That's when his time's over, and that's what I did at the last debate, and I got a lot of kudos for that.
You're gonna make a name for yourself there in Easton, Spike, if you're not careful, brother.
Yeah, and a rap sheet also. I'm sure with it.
Such an optimist. All right, good talking to you, brother.
All right, have a good one.
Later now. Bye. Our good friend Spike in Easton, PA. Okay, let's check the phone line, see if there's anybody else here. Hey, who have I got?
Hey, it's Kevin again from D.C. I couldn't resist getting back on if you indulge me, Bob.
Oh, sure, sure.
You know how you get back at these people like a street thug style?
How's that?
Do what needs to be done to, what's his name, Kissinger. How he's wanted in like 80 countries.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't go to like half the planet. You know, whenever Rush Limbaugh travels on one of his drug orgy fests in the Dominican Republic,
follow
up the Dominican authorities to pick him up and surrender him according to international treaty.
Wow.
Make it that these people cannot travel anywhere. And believe you me, once you make an example out of Kissinger and Rush Limbaugh, it starts going up the line to less important people who are in this administration, like Condoleezza Rice, when their terms are up. And then give these people the option. Either you surrender, you open up the books and surrender your fortune for audit, or you know what? We put you in front of the international tribunals, which I know they don't want.
I would imagine you're probably right. Not a bad idea. Well, but then again, you know, that's why Kissinger doesn't travel to some countries. There's places what? Henry Kissinger just can't go, like you say. Chile.
Well, you know what? If he spread enough foreign aid around, there'll be a lot more places that Kissinger can't go, or any of these people can't go.
Yeah,
I'll be willing to pay that.
But that is, you know, that is punching back. And I think it would be amazing if we would just work up our guts and do it once and watch them run, how much we would learn.
For once, you know, we need to start cooperating with the United Nations and being...
Oh, you know, yeah, you remind me of something. I got an email today. It amazed me. The UN Convention on Women and the Rights of Women. I'm looking for it now. It was signed by President Jimmy Carter in 1980, Kevin.
Yeah.
To this day, 179 nations have passed it. Okay? No, I'm sorry, 185 countries have ratified it. The United States hasn't. Neither has Sudan. Neither has Somalia. Neither has Iran. And there's a new move afoot because Senator Biden has said that he will see it out of committee in the coming year. And what it is called is the Convention on Rights of Women. The House of Representatives has nothing to do with this, Kevin.
Yeah.
But you can urge your senators to pass it. I'm writing to Byrd and Rockefeller. Simply because, you know, how antediluvian is it? Why? You know, it's the same thing with health care. It's the same.
I think we're so free, and, you know, we're the freest and richest people on the planet.
Yeah, you know, yay us. We're standing shoulder to shoulder with Iran, Sudan, and Somalia.
Yeah.
You know, somebody strike up the band. Let's sing the national anthem.
Yeah. You know, but that's something for us and our listeners. You know, start surrendering these people internationally, the international authorities, when they travel abroad. Or even some of these blue states. Hardcore blue states.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, just as, you know, and submit to their authority. Because we have treaties with a lot of these countries, or even with interstate treaties.
Oh, hey, you know, the Geneva Conventions have the force of constitutional law because they are ratified by a constitutional process.
Yeah.
But these street punks, these thugs, have no regard for it. None.
Well,
none whatsoever.
The thing is, we got to get rid of two of the punks on the Supreme Court. You know, even when they travel abroad, because they could be held accountable for a certain thing.
If they were under indictment. So far, nobody has.
Clarence Thomas probably broke a law or two that I could think of.
I'm sure he's broken. I'm sure he's broken them like Moses slamming the Ten Commandments to the ground. But he hasn't been indicted for any war crimes in any countries. But, you know, they serve for life. And, you know, the right wing is fond of telling people to pray for the death of various and sundry Supreme Court justices. It backfired on them last time because they were praying for Justice Stevens to drop dead. And lo and behold, there went Rehnquist.
So much for the right one.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, I got to roll on. It's news time, brother.
Okay.
Good idea, though. Thanks.
Okay. Bye.
Later. Now, what do you think? We got another hour coming up. Jump right in if you want to. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Or 304-658-5453. We'll be back after the news. This is The Horn.
The roof is on fire. The roof, the roof, the roof is on fire. The roof, the roof, the roof is on fire.
The Quality News Network. U.S. military officials say an attack on a reported al-Qaeda meeting killed 19 insurgents, 15 civilians, including 9 children. The air and ground attack northwest of the capital was targeting senior al-Qaeda members. American troopers are presently looking over the scene on the ground to gather more information. Defense Secretary Robert Gates is downplaying a New York Times report that says the U.S. Marine Corps wants to pull out of Iraq and focus on Afghanistan, leaving the Iraqi war to the U.S. Army. Gates said he hasn't seen such a plan and no one has proposed it to him. After the recent controversy over private security companies such as Blackwater USA, the State Department is considering phasing out or limiting their use. The Associated Press reports that some contracts may be canceled. Victims and families of victims of the Blackwater shooting in Baghdad on September 16th are now suing the company. A legal advocacy group filed the suit today in U.S. court. Turkey has withdrawn its ambassador to the U.S. in response to the approval of a House bill that calls the killings of Armenians nearly a century ago genocide. The ambassador is expected to stay in Turkey for consultations. A bomb attack at one of India's most revered Islamic shrines in Rajasthan has killed 3 and wounded 18. The blast happened when worshippers were gathering for a religious celebration. No word yet on who carried out that attack. Speaking with reporters on a flight to Moscow, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice today accused Iran of lying about the purpose of its nuclear program. Rice said there's no doubt Tehran wants nuclear weapons and that it has a history of lying to the International Atomic Energy Agency. A Chinese government spokesman says China strongly opposes the U.S. decision to award the Congressional Gold Medal to the Dalai Lama. President Bush will meet with the exiled Tibetan spiritual leader next week. Beijing says the move is interference in its internal affairs. Supporters trying to draft former Vice President Democrat Al Gore to run for president in 2008 are raising thousands of dollars for petition drives and media campaigns, including a full-page advertisement in today's New York Times. Gore's representatives, however, indicate he has no interest in running. You are listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business News, coming up.
Living our lives in a civil fashion is a declaration of intent. It says we are ready to put our better selves forward for the well-being of the community. It's like romance. When you fall in love, you are on your best behavior. The delight in making a loving connection with someone brings out the best in us, naturally. It is natural to acknowledge our fellow human beings with a nod of the head or a smile, to show them the respect we would want them to show us. The more we are civil with strangers and with those who already know us, the healthier a spirit we create for ourselves, for each other, and the surrounding community. George Washington, the founder of a great nation, declared, "Every action done in company ought to be with some sign of respect to those that are present." Civility is essential to community health. For more information, click on the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
According to government statistics, arthritis is the nation's leading cause of disability. About a third of U.S. adults have work limitations because of the chronic condition. The treasurer of the state of North Carolina is asking federal officials to probe the CEO of Countrywide in the wake of his recent stock sales. The treasurer wants the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission to investigate the sale, which occurred just as the subprime mortgage crisis was growing. According to data compiled by a company which tracks home foreclosures in the U.S., the foreclosure rate in September was about one in every 557 households. That's down slightly from August, but still nearly double what it was a year ago. In September, two-thirds of retailers missed their sales expectations. Retailers such as Target and JCPenney blame warm weather and declining confidence, consumer confidence, in the wake of the housing market problems. Gold is currently trading at $756.70 an ounce. Light sweet crude oil is at $83.08 a barrel. And at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 64 points to close at 14,015. The NASDAQ was also down 39 points. The S&P 500 was down 8 points to close at 1554. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Christen.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Almost 6 minutes past the hour. And we'll go into hour number three with a little bit of upbeat good news. Just watching in the chat room, I saw a remark by our good friend Nanette. Hey, y'all, guess what? We won another battle in the fight against mountaintop removal. Pretty inspiring, too. A lot of hard work goes into this, and you know what? Your spiritual support, your letters, your calls go into that. Basically, it's a federal ruling out of the Southern District of West Virginia. The federal judge is Judge Robert C. Chambers. And the language of the decision is pretty profound. Our good friend Judy Bonds of Coal River Mountain Watch, who is just a dynamo, said the judge just gave